would you welcome and honor Chuck as he comes up this morning, and we'll just welcome you, and we'll let you have whatever you need and whatever time. So thank you for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Jeff.
Absolutely.
Yay. Whew. We had some fun this weekend. Who was here yesterday or Friday night? Anybody? Yeah, I recognize some of you guys. Oh, it got happy in here last night. That was so much fun. Yeah, I really appreciate the songs that we sang. You know, thanks to you guys and rest of the worship team, wherever you're hiding in here. You know, it's so important to sing truth, to sing words that are true. And, you know, because we're aligning our heart with truth all the time. We're renewing ourselves to the truth. We're coming into alignment with truth. And we want to be singing those words that are true. And when you, I mean, there's only two places that we stand in the world. We stand in the truth, or we stand in all that isn't the truth. And, you know, we stand in his love or in unlove. And it's a choice. No, we didn't do anything to get into his love and into his truth. He put us there. It says in Corinthians, we're in Christ Jesus by God's own doing. You know, he put us here. And we have the opportunity to renew our minds and align ourselves with everything he says is true, or to wander around hopelessly in the dark and in all manner of untruth and in all manner of searching for love. But we didn't get into love and into truth by our own effort. There's always a lie to try to get us to work for what was already freely given, and to work for his love or his presence or his goodness or even his provision. As we're, you know, praying for people who are lacking provision, you know, there's a lie that gets us to try to strive to come into those things, but they've been freely given. Just say, freely given. Yeah, it's called grace. It's really a cool word. And it's all grace. And it's by grace that we stand here in his abundance and his goodness. So, yeah, we just stand in your truth and in your love, God, right here in this place. Whew, thank you. Thank you for pouring out your love on each one of us and keeping us in your love. You know, his word is truth. Jesus says of the Father, he says, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And Jesus says, the words that I speak, they're spirit and they're life. And so in studying the word, we need to know that everything in it is truth, just ready to pour in and transform us. And sometimes we'll read some phenomenal scripture, and it just seems too good to be true. That's the gospel. It's too good to be true. If it's not too good to be true, it's probably another gospel. But I'm such a Bible nerd. I love the word. And so my wife and I, we got saved. We were farmers in the mountains of Colorado, and we just got into the word, and we started reading the word and studying, and we got Bible dictionaries and concordances and lexicons and four volumes of J.P. Green's interlinear, you know, Bible in Hebrew and in Greek, and, you know, and so we had this wooden apple picking box with all our all our stuff, and everywhere we go, even if we went camping, that would go in the camper, you know, this box with all the, you know, all of these resources that we just dove in and studied. And I really love this modern age. It goes on the airplane. It goes anywhere I go, and it's got it all. You know, and so this is really my Bible now. I've got stacks of old paper page Bibles that are all, you know, worn and tattered and disintegrating and duct taped on the binding and everything, but you know, this goes everywhere, and I can read it in any language, in any translation. I can compare things, and you know, so that's what I do. I'm such a Bible nerd that when God says something that fascinates me, I go, okay, I gotta look this up. I gotta find out more. And so I'm going to take you into a little adventure that is the adventure of my life of going into the Word and going, what does that really mean? Okay, is that okay? Can we go on a little adventure into this word? Okay, so what I'm going to use is Zephaniah 3:17. Anybody like that one? Yeah. So, you know, what it basically says is the Lord your God in the midst of you is mighty. He will save. He'll rejoice over you with joy. He'll quiet you with his love. He'll rejoice over you with a shout of joy. Okay, so that's good. And I really like it. And so I thought, okay, tell me more. I just want to know more. I want to find out what these words mean, you know. It was first written down in ancient Hebrew, and, you know, what do those words mean? One of the interesting things is there's four words for joy in here. You know, he'll rejoice over you with joy, and he'll rejoice over you with shouts of joy. They're all four different words. And, you know, we had a lot of joy in here last night. Yes, it was, it's still here. You don't have to give it up. You don't have to stop. It's a river flowing out. but there are actually 15 different Hebrew words for joy. And they're all translated joy in the English Bible. Huh. So they were really into joy and into different kinds of joy. And maybe I'll just share a couple of them with you right now. So here's a few of the ones, and four of them are in this very verse. So one of the words for joy means to fully delight, be full of laughter and rejoicing. Here's another word, the feeling of absolute joy with laughter and rejoicing. Here's another one. To welcome with gladness, joy, laughter, and rejoicing. You know, people always say, where's laughter in the Bible? It's all the way through. Shoo. Here's another one. To cause to laugh and greatly rejoice. Here's another one. Rejoicing and full of laughter. Here's another one. Outrageous joy. Exceeding gladness, pleasure, and rejoicing with laughter. And you know what that one is? That one is this word for joy in Psalm 16. It says, you make known to me the way of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. That's exceeding gladness, joyfulness, rejoicing with laughter. In his presence. So it's legal. Here's another one. To shout aloud for joy. A loud noise of rejoicing. To split the ears with a high, joyful sound of triumph. You can get loud in church. That one's used in the verse in Psalms 89, where it says, how blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of your face. Oh, Jesus. Okay, and here's another one. To jump up and spin around under the influence of a violent emotion of joy. Ha! <Shoo. laughs> Oh, my goodness. You know, and this one, like to welcome with gladness, joy, mirth, laughter, and rejoicing is spoken of over Jesus. You know, in Psalm 45, it says, therefore God, your God, has anointed you, speaking of Jesus, with the oil of joy above all his brethren. He had more laughter and joy and rejoicing than all of his brethren. Happy Jesus. Okay, so these are words that are used, and four of them are used in this in Zephaniah 3:17, but I'd like to go through the whole thing just to get a better idea. I mean, who's the Lord your God? That's a term, the Lord your God. So the Lord, the word for Lord, it's the word Jehovah or Yahweh, and it means the self-existing, eternal, unchanging one who keeps covenant and fulfills promises. Amen. That's who this Lord is. That's who my Lord is. He's eternal. He's self-existing. He's unchanging. He keeps covenant and fulfills promises. Okay, that's just the Lord part. Now, the your God part is the word Elohim, which I shared yesterday, is the plural majesty of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so it's, the plural majesty of the supreme Godhead, complete in total power, sovereignty, and creativity. But it's your God, so it's towards you. This supreme God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, complete in total power and sovereignty and creativity towards you. That's what he's bringing to you. He's your God. And so we want to step into that and go, oh, yes, that's who you are. You are my God. And he's in the midst of us. He's in the very nearest part, right at the very center, in your heart, deep within yourself. You know, this is, we talked about this yesterday, that when Jesus says, when two or more are gathered together in my name, I'm right here in the midst of you. What if everything God said was true? That means Jesus is here. He's right here. Now, the biggest problem with Jesus is he's invisible. And I love it when we feel his presence. Don't you love feeling his presence? Yeah. And all the sensory manifestations, what are some ways that you've seen the presence of God? Somebody was just telling me they saw gold dust all over the floor here. You know, there are manifestations of where he's walking that suddenly our eye can see. But that doesn't happen all the time. You know, we feel his peace and we feel, just the weight of his presence and the joy of his presence. But it doesn't happen every second of the time. So our senses aren't always aware of his presence. Sometimes we hear his voice. You ever heard his voice? Yes? Yeah. It's sweet. I love hearing his voice. But we don't hear that all the time. How many of you have ever smelled the aroma of heaven? Yeah. What did it smell like? Lilies and roses and, sweetness. And one person said bread baking, which, how heavenly is that? Come on. One guy once said bacon. It's wherever your heart is. He knows your language. But the aromas of heaven, the visuals at in Bethel for a while. One year we had this glory cloud, these clouds of sparkling gold dust that would appear, and we were accused of having put glitter in the in the air conditioning ducts. But that's just too much work. There was one time we were standing on the front row, and all of a sudden this gold ball appeared in the air, just right there at eye level, and then went boom and exploded into gold dust that went all over the building. You can't put that in the air conditioning duct. I mean, he just manifests his glory, and I believe his glory is all around us all the time, to be seen, heard, smelled, but our senses aren't always attuned. But the truth is, he's always here. When we're gathered, he's here. And whether we see, feel, or hear him, it's honor to him when we honor him based on his word and go, oh, but you're here. And we begin to act like the king of the universe is actually right in the room. And what this does is it just, all of a sudden we have to align our thoughts, our feelings, our judgments, our attitudes, everything has to line up because I'm standing before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who died for me and took all the judgment I deserve on his body on the cross, but he also took any judgment I might think you deserve on his own body on the cross. And so all of a sudden I have to align myself with, oh wait, I'm standing in front of the King of Kings. I can't judge anybody. You know, forgiveness, so many times for us, forgiveness becomes an event. You know, this event happens and, oh, you can't believe how much she offended me and hurt me, and you just don't know. And we know we have to forgive, so we struggle with forgiveness. But when we're standing in his presence all the time, with the awareness of his presence, forgiveness is actually the very air we breathe. We breathe in forgiveness from God, and we breathe it out to others. And so when the offense comes, and be sure it will, you just forgive because you're breathing it in and breathing it out. If I stop breathing in God's forgiveness, I die. If I stop breathing out, I die. And so we stand in the flow of breathing in the forgiveness of heaven and breathing it out to everyone around us. And this is why Jesus could say, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. I mean, they're killing him. They knew they were killing him. They had no idea what was really at stake. He just breathed out forgiveness from a place of pain and torture and torment. And see, we can do this too. And it doesn't have to become this big event. It only becomes a big event when we're not breathing in and breathing out all the time. And suddenly it's this big event. I had an experience. I wasn't planning to go this way, but I will. I'll tell you a story. You want to hear a story? Okay, so I had this experience. My wife and I planted a church, 40 years ago or something, a long time. Way back in the 1900s. Some of my interns weren't born back then. All of them weren't born back then when we planted this church. But we were part of a local church. These are small mountain villages in Colorado, way in the western part. And, you know, it was, people were getting saved, they're getting healed, miracles are happening, and, you know, we're going into all the villages and just sharing the gospel, and it was just, I kept going with the team to this one area in the San Juan Mountains, and people asked us, will you come and, you know, do Bible study, start a church here? And so, you know, the church we were part of all said, yeah, you know, they prayed, and they said, yeah, God's saying, send Chuck and Linda down there. So they all supported us and went. We rented the town hall. We'd been doing some Bible studies, and people started coming, and, you know, it was glorious, and our church sent teams down to help us out. And then all of a sudden, you know, our friends back, you know, it's like 2 hours away, they stopped calling, stopped coming and visiting, and, you know, it seemed kind of weird. You know, I'd call them and not get an answer. And so, you know, after a while, we went up to visit them, and we were just treated coldly. We didn't get it. And so, you know, we just loved on them, and we just kept going, and, you know, we didn't know how to plant a church, but you know what, I don't know how to heal the sick, too, and I oversee the healing rooms, because it's not what we know, it's who we know, and I just want everything I do to be a Holy Spirit work, and so I just stay plugged in with him and go, what are you doing, what are you saying? So my wife and I, when all these people who had sent us out, didn't come anymore, we just said, okay, Holy Spirit, we're not going to do anything you're not doing. And God began to move, and wonderful things began to happen. But we started hearing word that, you know, of lies spoken about us and slander, and so we went up to talk to my people who had been my friends. I'd been on a leadership team with them, and, you know, they accused me of all kinds of stuff that wasn't true at all. And, you know, there was slander, and they said that, you know, we'd been sent down there to fail because God wanted to show us we had a rebellious and independent spirit, and he was setting us up for failure. I checked in with God. That isn't how he works. Oh, thank you. I like the way my God works. You know, and so we were really hurt, and I went, and I, you know, just confronted him in love, and I just kept getting rejection, and my heart was broken. But because I know that I'm breathing in forgiveness and breathing out forgiveness, I knew that I just had to forgive them, even though it still hurt. The pain didn't go away with the forgiveness, but there was this sense of betrayal that was really, you know, it was heartbreaking. But I know enough about God. I knew that I couldn't talk to everybody about this, you know, betrayal and, you know, how wrong. I've been wronged and, you know, badmouthed these people. And so I decided I'm not going to say one negative word against them. And I'm not going to think a negative thought against them. And it was really rough because what happened was, I mean, we were part of a team of five leaders. And what I didn't know is we were the grace end of the spectrum. And when we left, the law came down. And all of a sudden, control and legalism and all of this stuff. And so people started fleeing from that church because it got so legalistic and harsh and condemning. And people would come to us all hurt, and we'd hear their hurt, but we weren't going to say a thing against the leaders because we were guarding our hearts. We wanted to be right with God in every way. And so we just purposed to be pure, but that left nobody to talk about and process my problems. And so I went to Jesus. I ran into him and I said, this betrayal, it hurts so badly. You know what he said? He said, oh yes, I know betrayal. Ooh, that one really hurts. And all of a sudden I was hit with, oh my goodness. He didn't even compare my little betrayal with his earth-redeeming, gigantic betrayal. He just pulled my betrayal into his and pulled me into his heart. And he said, thank you for participating in my suffering. Now participate in my glory. Whoa! That was so much better than trying to vindicate myself with about 50 people and talking about the problem. All of a sudden, I got to participate in the glory of the resurrected Christ as he took my suffering as his own. Whoo, his plan is better. And this is the Lord our God in the midst of us. He's right here in the middle of us. We can run into him with every problem. So many people say, you know, as they talk to 50 people about, you know, somebody who's a problem in their life, you know, I'm just processing. I don't know if that's true. It sounds like gossip to me. Oop, did I say that out loud? Oh, Jesus. Ha. What's this got to do with healing? Everything. It's the Lord our God who heals. And we can't pretend that we're somebody and pull on all the attributes of heaven to pour through our lives and see lives change. It only happens when it's real. And so we align with the Lord, Jehovah, the self-existing, eternal, unchanging one who keeps covenant and fulfills promises. Yep, with Elohim, the plural majesty of the supreme Godhead, complete and total power, sovereignty, and creativity towards us. And he's in the midst of us. He's right here in the nearest part, right at the very center in our hearts. We become the temples of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And so we become aware of that. We turn our attention to him in us, in the midst of us, and we find out that he's mighty. That word for mighty means powerful, a warrior, a champion, and victorious. That's who he is. That's who he is. I mean, he's not, you know, there used to be this thing they'd say, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Whoa. He's a victorious warrior. He's the Lion of Judah. He's powerful. And he's mighty. And he will save. That word save means he'll avenge you. He'll defend you. He'll deliver you. He'll rescue and preserve you. He'll give you victory. He'll heal you and cause you to feel safe, open, wide, and free. That's who he is. And so I'm going to acknowledge his presence. He's the Lord, my God, the triune God, in the midst of us, within me, all around me, amongst my brothers and sisters. We're living stones being built into a holy habitation of God by the Spirit. He's right here in the midst of us. And I want to be in awe constantly, in awe and wonder of that miracle, that we're more than the eye sees, more than the ear hears. Jesus. Woo. Thank you. And then it says, he'll rejoice over you with joy. And so there's two different ways. He's going to rejoice with joy, and they're two different words. And so what this means is he's going to be radiant with joy-filled laughter. He'll laugh over us with exceedingly great pleasure and merry-hearted glee. That's him. He's looking at us and he's going, oh. I mean, sometimes he just goes, oh, they're so cute. We're running around with problems and he goes, oh, they're so cute. Ah. And he just grabs us up in his arms and laughs in our faces. And you know what? I've got kids, I've got grandkids. I know what it is to tackle somebody and roll down the hill and just explosions of laughter. One time, who likes going into encounters like visions with God? Anybody like doing that? Is that, I mean, it's kind of fun. And one time I was just in his presence and I just heaven opened up and I was in this vision and I saw this lion, you know, up on the hill, a majestic lion. I knew it was Jesus. And I thought, well, I want to go see him. And so in this vision, and I don't know how visions work, but I just like being in them. I was walking up to him. I knew he knew I was there, but he wasn't looking at me. And so I'm creeping up to him and going, Jesus, hey, hello, I'm here. You know, and I got closer and closer to the lion. He's just majestic. He's looking up in distance until I got right next to him, and he grabbed me in his paw, and he grabbed my head, and he rolled down the hill and rubbed my hair and messed me all up. He rejoices over us with joy and laughter. But then sometimes he quiets us with his love. And this means he's really quiet. You know, sometimes you want him to talk and he doesn't say anything. You ever been there? He secretly practices his love for us. He's not speaking as he engraves and forms and conforms us with his love. Right in the palm of his hand, he causes you to rest and trust in his great affection for us. You know, sometimes he's just really quiet. You know, I love it when he, you know, rolls down the hill with me and it gets wild. But then sometimes he just pulls me in and he's super quiet. But he's doing this little inner work inside that takes concentration and attention, and he's so focused on his perfection of me, and then I just want to, instead of going, what are you saying, God, what are you doing, you know, I want to get out of my head and just go, yes, please, just go ahead and say that, yes, please, yes. Do the work that you're doing, because we're not telling him what to do. I mean, we do tell him what to do, but that's because we're leading with the intellect, you know. Romans 8 doesn't say those who are led by the intellect will be called the children of God. You know, when we don't know what's happening, we turn to him in our spirit and we go ahead and amaze me. Yep, I surrender. Do whatever you're doing. You know, and that partnership happens more quickly. His peace comes, even in the storm, in the questions, and the things we don't understand, all of a sudden there's peace because he's got us in the palm of his hand and he's doing something deep and perfect and lasting. And we want to trust him because we're learning to trust him. And so I love it when it's wild and crazy and we're rolling down the hill. I love it when it's quiet and I don't have any idea what's happening, but I know I'm in the palm of his hand. Because that's who he is. He's a covenant-keeping God. He keeps his promises. Okay, and then the last part, he says, he will rejoice over you with a shout of joy. Now, this is God it's talking about. This is David, the psalmist. He's talking about God. And he says, he's going to jump up and spin around in exceedingly great joy and gladness over you. This is that undignified God. He's just been working on the palm of his hand and perfecting you, and all of a sudden he goes, yes! And he jumps up, and then he shouts with joy, splitting the ears in triumph over his accomplishment in you. You see, he's invested in us. He loves us. He's this covenant-keeping, all-powerful, mighty, victorious God. And he delights in us and laughs with glee over us. But then he pulls us in, and he just starts working on us. And then when he looks at what he's done, he spins around, jumps up, and screams out loud in delight over his accomplishment in us. This God is invested in us. He's acquainted with us. He knows us. You know, when he made a covenant with mankind, he made a covenant. He made all these covenants in the Old Testament. And, you know, he's a covenant-keeping God, and man, you know, blows covenant consistently. And so he said, well, this isn't going to work because I'm covenanting to never be God again apart from man. I mean, he could be God forever. He was always God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He could keep on doing that and there'd be no problems. But he said, no, I want to be in covenant with you. And we're just covenant breakers. And so he said, well, this isn't going to work. So he came as a man. You know the story. It's really good. He came as a man, the son that God loved, the covenant-keeping man, the man who will never break covenant. And he, Jesus, entered into an everlasting covenant with the Father through his own blood. And Jesus will never break covenant, Jesus the man. And God the Father will never break covenant. And then he invites us into himself. I mean, people talk about, you know, like Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. That's so new age. Hey, the whole story is supernatural. There is nothing not supernatural about the gospel. God became a man born of a virgin. How do you do that? And he brings us into himself and causes the one who knew no sin to become sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And all of a sudden we're in the Son and the Father, and suddenly we're covenant keepers because we're in the covenant keeping Son, and he's a covenant keeping God. And so the enemy's going to pull up your past and show you all the time you broke covenant and you failed, but sorry, I'm in Christ and he doesn't break covenant. He is my covenant keeper. You know, there's lots of lies whirling around there. Okay, this is probably the biggest point I just want to share with you before we can do some miracles, because I think we should, just because they're fun. Here's a really big point. Every thought in your head is not you. Every feeling in your emotions is not you. And we need to learn that, because you're going to hear that God doesn't love you, or you're no good, or you failed, or, you know, he's rejected you, or, you know, any one of those. We've heard them all. We know all those lies. And we think it's us because it sounds so familiar. It's my brain thinking. No, it's not. It's these swirling things that the enemy, it's like, did you have fires up here? I mean, we have fires in California all the time, and those big slurry bombs go over, and they put this red fire retardant, and it sticks to everything. It's like the enemy's flying through with lies, and he just goes, and they stick. And if you think they're you and you embrace them, you're stuck with this thought about who you're not and how you don't measure up and how God doesn't care about you or whatever. But it's lies, and it isn't us. Every thought, just say, every thought's not me. And every feeling, he can hit us with real, I mean, emotions really feel like they're us because they feel just like my emotions. But they're not. They're lying emotions. And every emotion that, I mean, I feel this all the time. I have lots of friends who love me. They really love me. I love being loved. Who loves being loved? Anybody love me? Yes. And I have lots of friends who love me, and these emotions hit, nobody loves you. I told one of my friends who hears a lot of lies, and you know, he struggles with them, and I said, well, you know what I hear all the time? Nobody loves me. He cracked up. He said, that's the funniest thing I ever heard. Hey, it doesn't have to even look like the truth. It's just a lying emotion. And I just have to go, well, I'm not receiving that one, because I'm not going to stand here in unlove. I'm going to stand here in his love. Because Jehovah, the self-existing, eternal, unchanging one who keeps covenant and fulfills promises, that Elohim, the plural majesty of the supreme Godhood, complete in total power and sovereignty and creativity towards me, is right here in the very nearest part, the very center, in my heart, deep within myself. And he's a powerful warrior, a champion. He's victorious, and he'll avenge, defend, deliver, rescue, preserve, keep, give me victory, heal me, and cause me to feel safe, open, wide, and free. And he just gets radiant with joy over me. He laughs over me with exceeding great pleasure and merry-hearted glee. And sometimes he's quiet as he secretly practices his love for me, not speaking as he engraves and forms me in his love, causing me to rest and trust in his great affection for me. And then he looks at me and he jumps up and spins around in exceedingly great joy and gladness over me as he shouts with joy and triumph over his accomplishment in me. That's what he does. That's how much he likes us. That's why I like to get into the truth, and I like to dive deep in the truth, because the deeper I dive into it, I'm a word nerd, but I like to go into the words, because the more I dive into them, the more it becomes part of me, and it's like I become the living word, and this is who I am. And then the enemy comes and talks to me, and it's like, hello, do you see what God said about me? I have a friend who says, you know, every time that the enemy calls you up, just go, Jesus, it's for you. The less we listen to him, the less we embrace any of those lying emotions or lying thoughts, the more we stand in his love. And see, this is something that we guard, that we protect. This is a covenant that we're, you know, we don't work for it, but we guard it and protect it. They were given the garden as a free gift, but they were told to nurture and protect it. We've been given everlasting life, and Jesus says, this is everlasting life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. And why did he say God and Jesus? Because again, us in him become covenant keepers in covenant with the Father. And nothing can break that covenant, because Jesus and the Father will never break it. And me standing in him are in covenant eternally with the Father, loved beyond measure. And I stand in the Jordan River and hear his affirmation over me, that you're my beloved son in whom I take delight. Oh, thank you. Yes. Thank you, God. Yeah, let's just close our eyes and just stand. You know, here you are in the Jordan River, like you're one of the crowd, and Jesus comes through and steps into the river, and John the Baptist recognizes him. But all of a sudden, you're in Jesus. Whoa. You're in the Son as he steps into the river. He says, John goes, you ought to baptize me. And Jesus goes, no, I'm fulfilling all righteousness, because all men and women are right now in me, stepping into this river, going under, entering into my death, burial, and resurrection, rising up in newness of life, rising up as the son and daughter that the God affirms and says, now this is my beloved child, the one I take delight in. And then the Holy Spirit just comes down and rests upon us. And here we are. We become a new creation. We become the design of God for mankind, human beings with the living God inside and the anointing of the Holy Spirit on us. Yep, thank you, God, for making a place for us in you so that everywhere you are, we can be also. Yep, we stand under the outpouring of your delight and joy and pleasure in us. We say thank you for this great honor and privilege. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Whoo. Yeah, you have permission to feel his delight over you. If it feels foreign, try it out. If you hear him laughing, don't be offended. God laughs in church. Yeah. Thank you, God, for taking such pleasure in us. Yeah. Well, We didn't earn it. Of ourselves, we don't deserve it. Thank you for grace. And see, our participation with grace is just by recognizing it, turning towards it and going, yes, please, yeah, I'll have some of that. But if we don't recognize the grace of God, recognize this position that Zephaniah 3:17 puts us in, if we don't recognize it, we don't participate in it. But it's still there for us. And so it's a good thing to just read that over yourself incessantly. Oh, Jesus. You can go ahead and sit down for a moment, and we'll, I'd just like to ask if you need healing in your body, if you would stand up. We'd like to see, you know, bunches of people got healed. We took a video last night of people who got healed in the conference. It was so many people. But if you need healing in your body, and you even need a little more healing than you got this weekend, maybe there's a different part. I just got our stats from the healing rooms in Reading, and let's see, 47 people had all pain leave their bodies yesterday in the healing rooms. 20, yeah, that's awesome. Yes. 20 more people had significant pain leave their bodies. I think 19 people had mobility restored. I think 4 people had improved eyesight and 2 people had improved hearing. Jesus, we give you honor and glory. I mean, and I think it said 10 people got whacked. But I think it was more. They just don't always fill it out on the little forms. Okay, so these people, we want to pray with them for healing. And so we want everybody who's sitting down, you're the ministry team, and you don't have to know what to do. It's okay. Because I'm going to coach you if you'll just play along with me. Do you trust me?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so if you're standing for healing, just raise your hand so that when people get up to partner with you, they can find you. Okay, so the people who are sitting down, if you go find somebody, and preferably not your husband or wife, just find somebody else, and go become their partner. And as soon as you have a partner, you can put your hand down. And you can have 2 people with you or 1, it doesn't matter. But we just want everybody to have somebody standing with them. And you don't have to know how to heal the sick, because none of us do. It's called a miracle. Okay? So once you have a partner, okay, if you don't have a partner, just wave your hand a little bit. There's a gentleman in the back and there's a lady right up front here that need partners. Okay, I'm going to get up on the stage so I can see all you beautiful people. Okay, everybody has a partner? Great. And any of... Oh, there's a lady back there with a red shawl. She needs a partner. All right. So, and people who are sitting, you can join any one of these teams. It's okay. It's better to play. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's so much better to play. Okay, so those of you who have some condition you need to be healed of, if you would just quickly, in one sentence, tell your friends what it is you need healing for. But just one sentence, like 5 words, no history. Okay, I'll give you 30 seconds. Go. Okay, that should be good. Okay, shh. Okay. Can I have your attention back? No praying aloud. No praying. No, don't jump the gun and pray for anybody. Okay, so I want to coach you through because I want to make it easy, and sometimes we make it really hard, and so I want to keep it simple. Okay, so the number one key for breakthrough in every area of life, would you like to know what that is?
Yeah.
Come back tonight. No, I'm only kidding. Just wanted to know if I had your attention. Okay, the number one key is just to recognize that he's already here. We're not begging him to come. We're not pleading with him. No, he's right here. He's here in us, and he's here among us. And so just turn your attention towards him, and right now I just honor your presence, Jesus, in the room. You're here because you say you're here. You're here because you want to be here. Yeah. It's your plan and your purpose to be in the midst of your people. Now go ahead and put your hand on your heart and just repeat this prayer. Oh, but you're here. Yeah, you're here right inside us, Holy Spirit. You've taken up residence. Yep, you're not a faraway, distant God. You live within us. We're your temple, your sanctuary. We're the holy of holies where you dwell. Yep, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives right in us. Thank you for your presence. Okay, so now all the responsibility is his because he's here. And so for those who are ministering to our friends who need healing, I just want you to quickly ask him, what are you saying and what are you doing right now, Holy Spirit? Just ask him and just close your eyes and listen. And he might give you an impression or a word. Because we want to do what he's doing. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, if you received an impression from the Holy Spirit, a word or an impression, would you raise your hand? Just, okay, some people did. You got an idea of what you're supposed to do, what God's doing. Okay, so when I release you in about 10 seconds or whatever, you can just do whatever God showed you to do. But the rest of the people who didn't get an impression, that's okay too. We're just going to command that condition to leave their body. See, we are seated with him in the heavenly places, and he's given us authority over it. So we're not going to plead with cancer to leave. We're not going to plead with pain to leave. No, we're taking authority. We're saying, no, this is a violation, and we command you to leave this body. And so we're going to take about 30 seconds to just command that stuff to get out. And after that, we're going to pour in everything that's in heaven in us because of God. We're going to pour in his love, his healing, okay? So go ahead and do it. Just begin to do whatever. Tell the bad stuff to go and pour the good stuff in. You can brush stuff off, lift stuff off. You can do prophetic acts. No, just engage with whatever the Holy Spirit's doing to help heal this person. Thank you, Jesus. Pain is leaving the building. Yep. Hey, Grady, you're back there. Would you just open that door? We're just going to get all the pain to leave right now. Yeah, he's just opening the door. All the pain has to go out. Bye-bye. Swoop, out the door. Yep. Pain is leaving the building. Yep. Sickness is leaving. Yep, doors are open. Sickness and pain, get out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Yep. You can close them again so it doesn't come back in. Okay, just take about 30 more seconds and just dump life into them. Dump healing and life into their bodies. Just pour it in, pump it in, shoot it in, whatever you have to do. Okay. Okay, that's good. Okay, can I have your attention again, please? Just for a moment. Okay, now the person who received ministry, uh-oh, they're getting whacked back there, those ladies. They're dangerous. The person who's receiving it, I want you to check out your body. Just see if you're experiencing anything different. It could be heat or tingles, or it could be all pain left, or it could be motion, you know, whatever. Just check out your body to see what's changing in your condition. Just go ahead and take about 60 seconds and just move around and see what's different in your body. You know, things, it can just be the beginning or it can be a whole lot. It doesn't matter. We're looking for what God is doing. Okay? Okay, can I have your attention again? I'm wanting to make this short so that we can see how easy it is. So if you experience any improvement or any change, anything that's different, would you wave your hands in the air, please? Just, okay, look around. Keep waving. Look around. God's doing stuff. God's doing stuff in the room. Things are changing for people. okay? Now, the important thing is that we recognize what God is doing, so we want to celebrate it. And if you didn't feel anything happen, but somebody else is experiencing it, you have a choice. You can go, why did she get healed and I didn't? Or you can go, I'm going to celebrate her breakthrough because her breakthrough now becomes my breakthrough because it's the breakthrough in the room. So let's all celebrate. Right now, let's just celebrate what God is doing. We're connecting with what he is doing. Okay, now we have people who need a little bit more, and so we're going to do more. So all of you who are ministering to somebody, would you raise your right hand? Raise your right hand. If you're the right one's over here, it's this one. Okay? So now put your left hand around your right wrist. Okay, and now go. Okay, your hand is loaded right now. This is a loaded hand. You're gonna put that loaded hand on your friend and you're gonna command the sickness and pain to leave. Thank you, Jesus. Get them. Yep, just pour a little bit more goodness in. Pour some shalom of heaven, some of the honey of heaven, just some sticky, juicy, healing goodness. Yep, pour more life in. What's that?
I just wanted to share with you, but I don't want it to go from here. There was a lady back here, and I went just to go during the greeting period, and I asked her name, and it was Mary Hart. And I laid my hand on her and said, oh, Mary Hart, good like medicine. And my friend behind her in, she said she took it, and she went down, and she just now woke up.
Right.
Felt like the breakthroughs of God were washing over her, and she was given the key to the medicine cabinet.
Cool.
And she might be laughing and singing and rejoicing.
All right. Yay. Okay, can I have your attention, please? Okay, go ahead and move around and just check your body out and see if there's anything changing, any improvement, anything happening that's different from what you had before. Let's check it out. Okay. Whoops, some people are waving back there. If you're experiencing any improvement, go ahead and wave your hands. We just want to see. Okay, look at that. Woo! Jesus. Jesus. Okay, can I ask everybody to sit down, please, just for a moment? Have you ever done a fire tunnel here?
Yeah.
Can we do one?
Yeah.
Shall I ask? Can we do a fire tunnel?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, let me just find out who got healed first, and then let's end with that. Okay. So if you had improvement in either of these little sessions of prayer, would you stand up and wave your hands? Because we just want to look and see what God's doing in the room. Look at this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Woo. That's awesome. Thank you, God. Okay. Yep. Now I just say more. I say, yep, whatever you got in a small dose or a big dose, we just say more. 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 Because, you know, I talked about this yesterday, but in the kingdom, we don't go from glory to bummer. That's the other guy. We go from glory to glory to glory. And so people always think, oh, I got healed, but it's going to go away. Hey, if you partner with that, you could give it away. But in reality, when you realize, no, what he gives me, yep, he's faithful to complete the work he begins. And so I'm going from glory to glory. And the thing that I saw start, I'm going to watch him complete it. Then you get to partner with his truth. And you get to see it go better and better and from glory to glory, because he designed us to go from glory to glory to glory to glory, not to go, good thing, boom, too bad. You know, that is the enemy. He's the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So I'd like to do a little celebration right now, if you don't mind. And so we call it a fire tunnel. I don't know what you call it, but... So what I'd like to do, if that's okay with you guys, is maybe my team and then maybe some of your leaders' team, we could make a little tunnel here, maybe your healing rooms team or whatever. And what we're going to do is if we can have some really happy, loud, fast music, you know, like not funeral music, like really upbeat. And if everybody, like the ministry team will come up here, and we're going to make two lines facing each other. So if my team will come on up, oh, some of them can't walk, but that's one of those problems of life. So if your leaders and ministry team, we can make two lines. Maybe you could put them all in order and make two lines out of this disarray of people. Okay, and what we're going to do is everybody... Everybody in the congregation, you know, if you want to go through this, what happens in this, we've had people get healed in going through this because we're going to lay hands on you. I was in Northern Ireland, and there was a woman who, she had a heavy-duty crutch, and she couldn't walk on her right leg. And I asked her what the problem was, and she said, well, it's dead. There's no life in it. It's cold, and the doctors next week, they want to amputate it. I said, well, do you want to have your leg amputated? She said, no. And so we prayed for her, and it instantly got warm. It hadn't gotten warm in like a year. And so then she went through the fire tunnel with her crutch, and at the other end of the fire tunnel, she's walking. She ended up going to the doctor that week, and the doctor said, we don't have to amputate. Your leg is alive. Whoa! So there's healing in the fire tunnel, but there's also impartation. If there's anything, like people always say, oh, I'd like to have an impartation of joy. Hey, I'm in the fire tunnel. Bam, you're going to get it. Please don't come up to me afterwards and go, I need an impartation of joy because I'm giving it in the fire tunnel. And anything else that we have that you want, if you don't want anything that we have, you don't have to go through the fire tunnel because it's dangerous. Okay, so everybody in the congregation who wants to go through, we'll move over to this side and come down that far aisle and go through, and then they'll come out this other side. And sometimes there's a little debris on this end, but, you know, we can work with that. We'll wait till the music starts. Okay, yeah, can we have some good, happy, fast music up there? And a little bit loud, too. Yeah. Okay, come on.
Woo, hey. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Hey. Go ahead and put your hands in the air just for a moment. Put your hands in the air. Right now, grab some. Grab some right now. And take it with you to go give it to someone. Oh, Lord, we thank you for what we received. Woo! We're taking it with us because everywhere we go, you're with us. Come on, right now, we thank you. There's more than enough. More than enough. More than enough. More than enough. Come on. Come on. Come on. Now here... So here's the question. Come on. Here's the question I have for you. How long do you really want to hold it? Whoa. How long do you really want to hold it before you give it away? Come on. So you might not even get out the door today before you decide to give it away. But some of us, we've been holding on to the things God's given us for way too long, when we're supposed to give it away. So right now, we just declare, Lord, thank you for freely we've received. Freely we will give. Come on, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. There's some announcements in your bulletin. If you're interested in the cinnamon rolls, Gwen, raise your hand, cinnamon rolls. We support Young Lives and Young Life. Some of you are familiar with that. Otherwise, connect with someone. Find out tonight if you're available, 6 p.m. in Pullman. That's where they'll be. If you have an offering, go ahead and drop it off. You can find some information in the lobby. Gwen will be there. The healing room signups will be there. God bless you tonight. There's still a lot of activity going on. You don't have to leave the building, but we are done. God bless you, and we'll see you next Sunday.